Good morning. Just so you know, the whole Vandermeer clan has been exposed to COVID-19, so none of them are here. And there are other people that we know who have also been exposed. We need to keep them all in prayer. January the 10th, next Sunday, Sunday school will begin. And also January the 10th at 6:30 p.m., we will resume our Bible study here at the church, and we're going to begin with the book of Genesis. And Lord willing, you're going to have something to take home and help you as you read through the book of Genesis and provoke you and stimulate you to study. Let's stand to sing and stand for the call to worship. Let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. Let us shout joyfully to him with psalms. For the Lord is the great God and the great King above all gods. In his hand are the deep places of the earth. The heights of the hills are his also. The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. Reading from Mark 10, "Let the little children come to me, and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of God. Assuredly, I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it." Thank you. You may be seated. Reading from Psalm 38. "O Lord, do not rebuke me in your wrath, nor chasten me in your hot displeasure. For your arrows pierce me deeply, and your hand presses me down. There is no soundness in my flesh because of your anger, nor any health in my bones because of my sin. For my iniquities have gone over my head. Like a heavy burden, they are too heavy for me. My wounds are foul and festering because of my foolishness. I am troubled, I am bowed down greatly. I go mourning all the day long, for my loins are full of inflammation, and there is no soundness in my flesh. I am feeble and severely broken. I groan because of the turmoil of my heart. Lord, all of my desire is before you, and my sighing is not hidden from you. My heart pants, my strength fails me. As for the light of my eyes, it also is gone from me." Let us pray. Our Father and God, we thank you as we meditate upon your word, that you are the one who has written to us through your prophet, and that you are informing us about our own character. We thank you that you are merciful and gracious to us, and that you do not regard us according to our sin, nor reward us according to our iniquity. But because of the work of Jesus Christ, you welcome us at your throne of grace, and we approach you through his blood and in the power of the Holy Spirit. We ask, as we meditate upon these things, that we would have hearts full of joy and thanks, and that we would learn to serve you with gladness. In Jesus' name. Amen. And from Psalm 27, "The Lord is my light and my salvation, whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life, of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked came against me to eat up my flesh, my enemies and foes, they stumbled and fell. Though an army may encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise up against me, in this I will be confident." Let us pray. Our Father and God, we thank you that you have given us another year. We ask that in this year we will be found to be faithful servants, and that we will be those people who will exalt Jesus Christ, knowing that when he is exalted, other men and women will be drawn to him. We ask that we would be those who would be ready with an answer for all those who ask us concerning the hope that is in us. We ask, Lord, that we would look forward to the soon return of Jesus Christ, knowing that he said that, behold, I will come quickly. We acknowledge, Father, that your idea of time is different than ours, and so we wait expectantly for his return. And through it all, Father, we ask that you would bless this congregation, and that this particular congregation would grow in the grace and knowledge of your Son, and that we would delight in his word, that we would learn to pursue righteousness and to seek first the kingdom of God. We thank you for the many blessings that you've bestowed upon us, and we ask that we would always be grateful and thankful, and that praise would be upon our lips. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Well, children, if you'd like to come forward. No children this morning? There we go. Now, before you sit down, take one of these crowns. Well, before you sit down, pick out one of these crowns. They're for you. Take one. Good. There you go. Oh, we want a crown. Yeah. Okay. Tell me who wears a crown? God wears a crown? I'll have to think about that one. Who else wears a crown? Ever heard of a king and a queen? Okay. And a king and a queen, they are rulers. They rule over things. Now, I've given you a crown. What am I telling you about yourself? Well, let me tell you, Jesus, when you believe in Jesus Christ as your Savior, you become a king and a queen. Okay? In the book of Revelation, chapter 1, we read that he has made us kings and priests. This morning, we're just interested in the fact that you're a king or a queen. Okay. When the wise men came to Bethlehem, they wanted to worship Jesus, who is king. And because Jesus is our elder brother, do you have brothers and sisters? Do you have brothers and sisters? Okay, Jesus is your elder brother. He's your older brother. And since he is a king, that means that as his brothers and sisters, we too are kings and queens. So when you look, I assume you're going to take these home, put them on a shelf, maybe you'll wear them, but when you look at them, you remind yourself that you are a queen, a princess in the kingdom of God. Thank you. Let's stand to sing, As With Gladness, Men of Old. Please be seated. Our scripture reading is taken from Matthew chapter 2. Beginning with verse 1. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him. When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. So they said to him, In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, Go and search carefully for the young child. And when you have found him, bring back word to me, that I may come and worship him also. When they heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Then, being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country another way. This passage of scripture is familiar. You probably hear it at least once a year. And we have a lot of traditions around these wise men. First, I want to address some of the things that are traditional but are wrong. First of all, we don't know how many there were. There could have been three, there could have been five. Our Eastern Orthodox people think that there were 12. So, we don't know. The Lord doesn't tell us how many. It wasn't until the 3rd century that the three kings became three kings, and that's because of the three gifts. And in the 6th century, they were given names, and in the 14th century, they came from specific places. All of that is tradition and not necessarily true. Secondly, we often, and you can see this in Linden, in front of First Christian Reformed Church, they have this lighted creche, nativity scene, and the kings are there with the shepherds. Again, if you read the Gospel of Matthew in chapter 2, you'll see that it says, first of all, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea. And then in verse 11, it says that they had come into the house. And then later on, it says they see the young child. In Luke 2, the shepherds were told to find the babe. So at some point after Luke 2, Jesus and Mary apparently stayed in Bethlehem and moved into a house, and the wise men came to the house. And today is called Epiphany Sunday. And January the 6th is Epiphany. It's Twelfth Night. And historically, Epiphany and Twelfth Night are terms used for when the wise men show up. Now, that's all to give you something about our traditions and how traditions sometimes can trump the truth. So what are we interested in? We're interested in these magi. And in your version and mine, they're called wise men. And in some places, they're called kings. They were not kings. They're wise men. They're magi. And the magi were a priestly crew, a very high in regard priestly crew in Persia and Media. And they were kingmakers. In order to become king in Media and Persia, you had to subscribe to the Magian Code, and you had to be approved by the Magi. And so the Magi, since the time of Darius, all the way through the three or four kingdoms that followed, were kingmakers. And these kingmakers are the ones that show up in Jerusalem. Now, this Magian was hereditary. And we can trace the Magian hereditary process back to the time of Daniel. And you may recall in Daniel 6, Daniel is tossed in the lion's den. And part of the reason that the others were jealous of him is he was a Jew. He was not a Persian. He was not a Mede. And therefore, he was fulfilling a position that belonged to someone who was born in the process. And Daniel was not. He was a stranger. And he didn't belong in the minds of the other magicians and wise men of the time. He didn't belong in that position. So there was a problem with Daniel being the person that he was, as well as the fact that he had a God that he prayed to daily. So these magi were civil and political counselors with religious authority for centuries in Media and Persia. And here they come to Jerusalem. Now the journey, if you go to Ezra chapter 7, verse 9, the journey from Babylon to Jerusalem took Ezra 4 months. Assuming that these magi are, as we understand it, from that area, they, depending on how they traveled, it could have taken 1 to 4 months. So it wasn't an overnight journey. So they traveled, and when they traveled, because of the politics of the time, they probably traveled with a military escort. So often when we see nativity scenes, we have three kings with their camels, and that's it. But they probably had an escort, could be up to 1,000 soldiers, that carried with them. There was a political and problem between Rome and Parthia at the time. And the Romans had been at war with the Parthians since 60 BC. And Mark Antony took over, won the Roman portion back at 37 BC, and at the time the Magi came, Augustus Caesar and King Herod were elderly men. And King Herod was not only elderly, but ill. So when we read that King Herod was troubled, he's troubled for a number of reasons. Number one, because of this group of people that walk into Jerusalem under military escort. That would be a trauma. Secondly, Herod had the label King of the Jews because Augustus Caesar gave it to him. But he was not a Jew. He was an Edomian, which means he was a descendant of Esau. And as a descendant of Esau, He's an Edomite, and the Edomites and the Israelites were deadly enemies. And if you want to understand that a little better, read the book of Obadiah. Okay? The Edomites rejoiced and laughed when Israel was taken into exile. So Herod didn't belong, and he wore that label amiss. And so when the Magi come and they say, "We are looking for the king of the Jews," Herod is greatly troubled for very good reason. And he lies to them. He says, "That tell me where he is, I want to come worship." But he answers their question. Now, the Magi were known for reading the stars. And you may be interested, this is an aside, there's a gentleman who has spent a lot of time and effort to show that the Bethlehem star back at the time with the Magi, you can calculate it using what we know of the mathematics of the heavens, and you can Google this under Bethlehem star. It's very interesting. But they didn't get the information of the location except from the scriptures. The stars didn't give them the information. The scriptures, Micah 5:2, in Bethlehem of Judea. So the Magi go and to hunt for the child. Now remember why they came. They came to worship. Here are these kingmakers. They are responsible for approving and setting up the kings in the Parthian Empire. And they come on a journey of a month to 4 months for the specific purpose of worshiping this king of the Jews. And when they find the child, they fall down and worship. And they bring gifts: gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Gold represents Jesus as king. Frankincense represents Jesus as priest. Myrrh represents his death and his role as savior. And if you read Isaiah chapter 60, specifically verse 6, you'll see in Isaiah chapter 60, it's speaking of a future time yet to come. And the kings of the earth bring gifts. And in Isaiah 66, they bring gold. They bring frankincense, but they do not bring myrrh. Why don't they bring myrrh? Because in Isaiah 60, it's talking about a future time even from today, and Christ has already died. The myrrh is not necessary. The myrrh has been spilled. It's done away with. Christ died once. So here, in the time of Herod, they bring myrrh, as well as the gold and the frankincense. And this is what they give as gifts. Why would kingmakers bring gifts to a young child? They were acknowledging him as king. In a manner of speaking, these kingmakers were, from their culture, their understanding, they were acknowledging one who was worthy of their worship. Not someone that they established as king, but someone that they worshiped as king. This speaks to Jesus Christ, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And when they see him, you'll notice that they saw him with exceeding great joy. Now think of the time invested and the money invested. A month to 4 months to get there. And then they had to go further than Jerusalem. They had to go to Bethlehem, which is about 6 miles. And then they had to return. How long were they in Bethlehem? We don't know. But they weren't there 8 months. They weren't there 2 months. As a matter of fact, when they left by another way. And you can look at an ancient map, and you can see the two main roads that they may have taken. And the first road was the way of the sea, which came down from the north and goes into Israel from the north. And the way they left was probably on the road that went out from the south across the desert and near the city of Petra. So there are two main roads that they may have traveled. This is important to understand that this was a historical event and a historical time that we, sitting at this end, we can look at things and say, oh, that's probably what happened. And when we do that, we need to understand that what they did was to worship. They invested time and money for the express purpose of bowing down and worshiping. I don't know about you, but it makes me wonder about how much effort I put into worship. What do I sacrifice in order to worship the King of Kings? Whoever was with these magi were also involved in this sacrifice of extended travel, being away from home, and only for the purpose of going to find this toddler to worship him. So how much effort do we put into worship? You have three types of worshipers in this passage. You have one, Herod, who's greatly troubled, knows he's a fraud, and he wants to, quote, go and worship. And we find out after the wise men go home that he goes to Bethlehem and doesn't worship anybody. He murders all the infants that are 2 years old and under. He's a fraud. And he lies. Then you have those who are indifferent. Those men that King Herod consulted in Jerusalem. When the Magi show up, they go, where is he who's born King of the Jews? And Herod doesn't know, but he consults the Hebrews. And they quote from Micah 5:2. They know what the scripture says. Did they go to worship? Nope. Did they go, oh, we need to join these Magians and go with them and worship? No, they didn't do that. They're just indifferent. They're not filled with hate. They're just indifferent. And then they're the true worshipers, the Magians, who spent that long period of time for the express purpose of coming to worship this toddler. And then they spent that same time to return home. So, we come to the question. It's interesting that these men and what they did are only mentioned once in the scriptures. Only once. They're not referred to again. And everything we've said about who they are depends upon what we understand about Daniel. The only thing that God tells us in Matthew chapter 2 is something about where they came from, when they came, why they came, and what they did when they arrived. And God doesn't tell us all the answers that we want to know. We're full of questions that God doesn't answer. Full. But he tells us exactly what we need to know. We don't need to know everything we want to know. But we need to know that here are men from the East who traveled a distant time for one specific purpose, only one, and that was to worship. And when they came to worship, they didn't come empty-handed. They came and they brought gifts that were appropriate for the toddler. They weren't inappropriate, they were appropriate. I can think of a number of gifts that may or may not be given that are inappropriate. I know of a child who wanted a drone that you could fly, and you had to wear these special goggles, and you have to be 18 with a license to do this. But he's only 10 years old, but he wanted one. And it would have been inappropriate for him to get that. When you give gifts, we need to give things that are appropriate. And when you come before the King of Kings and Lord of Lords and you bring him gifts, you need to give him that which is appropriate. And these gifts, one speaks of him as king. And he is king forever. He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And he rules over all men, over all events. And he rules in 2020 and in 2021, he's ruling over COVID-19. He rules. That's who he is. He's king. And the second gift was frankincense. He's priest. He is our high priest. And when he ascends into heaven, he sits at the right hand of the Father and intercedes for us. That's what a priest does. He intercedes. The first thing he did was offer his blood as a sacrifice. And now he intercedes. How great is your need if the King of Kings, the ruler of all the earth, intercedes for you? How great is your need? But because our elder brother is king and high priest, that makes us kings and priests. You and I have very high privilege. And part of what we may give the King of Kings in terms of our worship is our service. Your service. One of the things that you need to learn to do, and it's a challenge, is to pray without ceasing. Prayer is your function as a priest. And it's a gift to the King of Kings when you learn to do this, because it is your effort and your way of communicating with the King of Kings. And you're supposed to be in conversation with him all the time. He is always present, and he's always willing to listen. Are you willing to bear your heart to him? Are you willing to intercede for other people for him? Your service. We, because we are to be worshiping people, and because we bring gifts, one of our gifts is service. And when you serve, you become like Christ. When Jesus tells his disciples, he tells them that he came, that's why he's born, he came to seek and to save those who are lost. If the King of Kings came to be seek and to save those who are lost, what do you think I should be doing? I should be very concerned about those who are lost. I should be very concerned about seeking first the kingdom of God. So when we think about these magi who bring their gifts, we need to examine ourselves. What do we do? What do we do in terms of our effort, our ambition to worship? And then when we worship, what gifts do we bring? So you may ask yourself what kind of worshiper you are. Are you a worshiper like Herod? You're a fraud. Are you a worshiper like other people in Jerusalem who acknowledge that, yeah, he's born in Bethlehem, but I'm going to stick around in Jerusalem? Or are you like the Magi, and you go and you worship? You bow down and you worship. What kind of worshiper are you? Lest you think that I'm just speaking to you, I speak to myself too. I have to examine myself. What kind of worshiper am I? And to be honest, I'm not always the same kind of worshiper from day to day as I should be. Some days I'm right on, and other days I'm not so right on. And thank the Lord for the indwelling Spirit who rebukes you and leads you into truth. You see, I was asked a question just recently. Why are we here? What are we supposed to be doing as people who live on this earth? And my answer was, whatsoever I do and say, I am to glorify Christ. That's why I'm here. I'm to glorify Christ. And that's why we all are here, to glorify Him. Our lives are to be poured out in worship, in service to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So as I told the children, I remind you, you have a crown. The crown that you have is the crown of life. And because you have the crown of life, you are a member of the kingdom of God, and you have some responsibility. And I trust by God's grace in the year 2021 that you'll fulfill your responsibilities with joy and gladness. Let's pray. Our Father in God, we do praise you and thank you for this record of those who expended time and money to seek the King of Kings and to worship. We thank you that you are merciful to us and gracious, and that you, in your mercy and grace, have called us out of darkness into your light. We ask that you would continue to teach us, that we would be those who would worship you in all that we do and say, and that our lives would be such that everything we do would be an expression of our praise and thanks and dependence upon the one who loved us, was born under the law, born of a woman, that we might have life. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Let's stand to sing, O Come, All You Faithful. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.